Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we're in a series on living for eternity, and this morning's message is introducing the concept of ages. Ages. This is such a fascinating part of our Bible. Let me just tell you this. The Word of God was given to each one of you to fascinate you. It was given to you to complete you. The Word of God was given to you to disciple you, to challenge you. The Word of God is the Word of truth. We've got so many messages coming at us in this lying age. There's so many things speaking to us and talking about, you know, who we are and what life is like and what matters and priority systems. And all of those, even the best of them, are faulty. But the Word of God was given to us to plumb line us into truth, righteousness, understanding, an on-ramp to the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is powerful. So when we look at the Word of God, whether on Sunday mornings or at any other time, what's happening is we're retraining ourselves with truth. And so this morning, as we look at living for eternity, I'm actually going to move this podium over. I'm not sure why it's so off-center today. As we look at this series or this session this morning on the coming ages, I want you in your heart to just say, Holy Spirit, fascinate me with this idea. This subject this morning is a really great place to just get lost in the Lord in, to just have your mind go to far off places in Jesus. I want to break down the concept of forever, the idea of eternity. And I don't want us to think about eternity as a starting point that started somewhere way back then and then just keeps going. I want us to look at it as segments instead. Forever broken down into segments. Because that's how the Word of God talks about eternity. Eternity is not one big lump of time. It's segments that are called ages. This is so cool. It's not just forever. And there's not just a couple of ages. There's actually a lot of them, like an infinite number of ages. And these ages began long ago by God's orchestration, and they continue on forever by God's orchestration. This is an awe-inspiring future that we have before us that's tangible, that's real. My hope today is that we begin to just get our minds and our hearts, our souls, set on an eternal journey that is exciting, that has upgrade moments and beauty and wonder and transition. Even the most homebody of us in the room likes a little change every now and then, likes a little flavor, you know, on their sandwich. I mean, that we would love that there's variance, that there's differences in life. And I want to tell you that forever would actually have the potential to get boring if it was amazing and never changed. It changes. Your forever is dynamic. So let's just look at a couple Bible verses to get us started here. Jude 1, verse 25. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Jesus, who was before all ages. I just want you to get this idea that our Bible says that there are ages, one after another, and before the very first age, before all ages, Jesus was. Jesus as this observer of eternity, this observer of ages. Joel 2, it's close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom. It's talking about the end time drama. A day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Ancient times. We want to look at these phrases as more than just fun poetry that means nothing. I want to remind us, this is the Bible. This isn't that fiction novel you picked up. This is the Bible. This is doctrine. This is understanding about reality, truth, the way that it really is. And what the word says is that there are ancient times and there are also ages to come. It's forever in both directions. You catch that? It's forever backwards and it's forever forwards. And before forever backwards started, which remember, that's forever, Jesus was. Jesus was there. That's what we just got done reading. Before all ages, Jesus was. This is like too much for the mind to handle, you know, especially for a dude who barely graduated high school. I mean, this is a big deal. Ages, ancient times past, future ages to come. I want us to think about this idea of forever in divisions of time that are measurable. It might be an idea that you've never thought quite that way before. That forever is broken up into divisions of time that are measurable. So it's not just it's not just forever, and it's not just forever in chunks of time that we don't really know, it's just kind of nebulous. No, there's divisible, measurable chunks of time. And part of the reason that we like that idea is we were hardwired with relationship to time. We all know how old we are, even some of you ladies who pretend not to. We all know how old we are. We all know, we all measure life by the calendar. Here we are, we're in another holiday season marking yet another year. We are hardwired to think about time. It is something innate to the human experience that we care about time and we like to divide time up. We like to be able to talk about just different chunks of time. This past season of my life was really tough. Oh, I can't wait, you know, to be in my whatever decades, you know, you're thinking of in the future, whatever. We like to break up time. We're hardwired. That wasn't your idea. That's not because you thought that up. God thought that up. It's innate to the human experience that we would care about the subject of divisions of time. We are going to care about it forever. You would actually be breaking your own, you know, moral protocols, your internal clock to graduate into eternity, and now all of a sudden it's just nebula. Time forever with no divisions. But that's not what the word says. The word says eternity is divided up into chunks. And you'll actually know when you went from chunk one to chunk two. You're going to know, you're going to feel the transition of ages, because it's by God's orchestration. Guys, this is cool. This is exciting. You're going to live forever. And forever isn't a straight line with no blips or transitions. Forever is the forward movement and momentum of the eternal creativity of God. And it just keeps getting better. It just keeps getting better. Time goes on. Ages in both directions. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in this session. And it's not just existing forever. I want us to get this. You don't just exist for eternity. Exist for ages. You experience them. You're alive. You do stuff. You interact. There's conversations that will be had. There's life that will be lived. And each age is different from the others. What in the world is before us? This is the most remarkable future. This is unbelievable. This goes back to Luke talking about sharing the gospel with people, inviting them into the celebration of the ages, that they would get to experience life for the ages to come. Let me just give you some thoughts as I was kind of pondering the ages and what do we know from the Word of God and where's the mystery? There's a lot of mystery. Just some things, some little patterns, some questions that kind of came to mind and a few answers that jumped out with each age being unique. First thing I'll note, we're only relatively confident of the time frame of two ages. Relatively. We got the millennium. That one, it's solid. We got it. It's 1,000 years. We are told Jesus is going to come back. He's going to rule for 1,000 years. It's not 1,001 years. It's not 800, you know, 89 years. It's 1,000 years. It's 1,000. We got it. It's set. That's the next age. But we're currently living in one. We're living in an age. And it's guessed that it's around 6,000 years long. Guessing somewhere in that time period. Well, so that means ages vary in length. It's not like every age is 1,000 years. That would be me. I would totally love to just get it that easy. Let's do simple math. I like my tens, 10, 20, 30, I like that. God's like, no. The age you're living in now is 6,000 years, and the next one is 1,000 years. It's like, well, do they just keep getting shorter? Like, do we start off with 6,000, then we go to 1,000, the next one's like 500, the next one's a year? Like, it doesn't work that way. So there's no pattern, at least not one that we can discern yet. It's like, well, how long will the age be after the millennium? We don't know, but it'll be a period of time. How about the one after that? We don't know, but it won't just keep getting shorter. I like to look for those kinds of patterns. I like to see it and go, oh, that's at least something we can maybe expect. The Lord just left this thing wide open. Furthermore, we know that the age to come, the next one, the millennium, we know it's 1,000 years because that's what our Bible says. It says it like six times in the course of a chapter. That it's 1,000 years, literally 1,000 years. But you remember a minute ago when I was like, this present age is around 6,000 years? It's not 6,000 exactly. We don't know exactly how long it is. They guess around 6,000, but what if it happens to be 6,127 years? Well, that throws everything off. Because we know the millennium's 1,000, but what if this age is some odd number? Some weird number? What if it's not 6,000 on the dot? Because it's probably not. What if it's 6,127 years long? So God, that means you can make an age either even or you can make it bizarre. Like you can probably have some reason that it's 6,127 years, made up number. You can have some reason for that that totally doesn't line up with my desire for zeros. I want 0, 0, 0. I want 1, 0, 6, 0. Probably not that way. We don't know. There, I'll tell you this. However long each age is, it's on purpose. God is not messing around. He didn't accidentally go a year long or 2 years short. I mean, he's got a game plan. There is great strategy to how long they are. They're not all round numbers. Or what if it turns out when we get all the math in front of us, this age that we're in now actually is exactly 6,000 years? Like when Jesus comes back and now the age transitions, what if it turns out to be exactly 6,000 years? I don't know that that really helps us either. I mean, it's like, okay, great. So even if it is an even number, it can go any direction. There's just so much mystery here. One thing that I'm thinking about related to this incredible idea of ages forever in both directions, and for the moment, just we'll look at the forward direction. We've only been in one of these. We've only been in one age. We are at the very beginning of the beginning of time. We've only been in one age. We've never done this thing before. We don't even have two ages to compare to one another. We've only got one age of human, the age of man. We've only got one of them. We're at the very beginning of an infinite journey that has age transition points in it. That's just awesome. And each age has a different purpose than the one before it and the one after. You know, right now, we're in the age of redemption. We're in an age, and I don't know that heaven would define it quite that way. I don't know that there's a book that says, this present age is called the age of redemption. That's my terminology. That's my interpretation of what I see happening, that man fell, man needed to be redeemed, Jesus came, he's going to come back. The whole storyline of this age that we're living in right now is an age of redeeming man. It's kind of one of the predominant themes, if not the predominant theme, of this age. But in the next age, do you know what the predominant theme is? The restoration of all things. This age, the one we're in right now, it's primarily the restoring of man to God, that redemption history or that redemption story. But in the next age, in the millennium, when Jesus comes, he's fixing everything. He's making things back to the original intent. He's going to spend 1,000 years. I think it's 1,000 years because I think it's going to take him that long. I think it's going to take Jesus 1,000 years to restore the earth to its original intention after all the sin of this age, all the mess that's going to come in the end time drama, everything. The next age under Jesus' leadership, it's mostly about restoring things to the Garden of Eden, restoring right relationship, restoring. Right now, we're being redeemed because we're a hot mess. The next age, Jesus is going to be here on the planet, ruling and reigning. And he's going to be making things right in preparation for the coming of the Father. And it's very different than what's happening right now. We're a long cry from preparing the earth for the preparation of God the Father. That'll be the purpose of Jesus in the next age. See, these ages are different. That's the point that I'm trying to make actually isn't to define this one or define the next one. It's to define how different they are. When we go from one age to another, things shift. Because the purposes of each age are unique in the heart of God. Not only the purposes, but the distinctions. When an age transitions, the rules transition. We've never had, for instance, Jesus Christ on the planet as the king ruling everything. When Jesus showed up as a baby in a manger, he was not actively ruling diddly squat. Not actively. It was all future destiny, absolute authority, but not time yet. It actually says when Jesus comes at the second coming, now the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. Now is the age of the leadership of Jesus as the king over the globe in a real and actual experiential way. Well, right now in this present age, there's a lot of things that are happening that are not okay. And they're permitted. You know, when Jesus comes back, they won't be permitted anymore. He's going to rule with an iron scepter, it says. He's going to look at those things that are not okay, and he's going to whack them with a big iron stick. We've never seen Jesus whack anything with an iron stick. The rules change. We're in an age that has rules and distinctives, and it looks and feels a certain way. We have never experienced before mankind with a resurrected body. We have no idea what that is. We have never tangibly experienced. We have no. The next age, when Jesus is ruling and reigning, the saints will have a resurrected body for the first time ever in history. That will never have been before. See, because the rules change. When an age transitions, so do the rules. Can you just imagine how cool life is going to be with a resurrected body and not all this nonsense? I mean, my goodness, the deterioration down here is just, it's not for the faint of heart. In the next age, the rules change and you get a resurrected body and that's your new normal. That's your new bad day. Your new bad day is with a resurrected body. I think you're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Guys, God is, he has no end to his creativity. The next age is the worst one by comparison to the one after it and the one after that and the one after that. We have no idea. No mind has conceived what God has in store for those that love him. We are on an eternal journey that is made up of not just one long eternal age, but distinct ages with distinct purposes and distinct rules. Way life will look and feel. This is the kind of thing you want to like talk to Jesus about and get lost. You want your mind to go way up. And think about these things and just go, yeah, I guess the millennium really is going to be a lot different than this current age. Wow. And God's a God of creativity, so the next age will be even better than that. How do you make it better than that? Okay, great. If you could figure out one time how to make it better, how do you make the one after that better? We're talking about God here. He could have thought up, he did, everything with no effort. All of a sudden, everything that is came to being just by his thinking and his word. I'll tell you what, if God were ever to have himself a whiteboard session, he'd go next level. He didn't even have to think to have all this stuff come up. He is so brilliant, and it all strings together in perfect harmony with great purpose. So let's talk about some of the unique dynamics of each age. I mean, just some of them. We're going to spend some more on this idea of ages past here in a minute. But we're not living in the first age. Look at this verse in Colossians 1:26. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. A mystery kept hidden for ages. Multiple ages. This verse in Romans 16, similarly. The message I proclaimed about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known. There are ages past. I just want us to see that. I want us to understand that. Jesus, however, is called the culmination of the ages. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happened to them as an example and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So how many ages? Let's make up a number. Of course, it's a million, or a million times a trillion, or whatever the number. But let's just go with 62, okay? 62 ages past. And this age looked like this and had stuff going on. And then after that, there was another age. And it had some things carry over from the age before it. But it also had some things happen in it that were preparation for the next age. And then you got to the third age. And then that one was getting ready for the next one. And all of these ages were building up to a moment, to a crescendo that is still only the beginning. And it's called the culmination of the ages when Jesus, this mystery, came in order to bring redemption to mankind. Jesus, the culmination of the ages. What a profound statement that you could say the culmination of the ages and yet still only be at the beginning of the story. That there's all these ages past and Jesus came as the culmination of every age that preceded. Now Jesus, boom, he's here. And in that moment, in his birth, in his coming, in his, you know, coming and incarnation of God in man's skin on earth was the culmination of all those ages, and yet we're still only at the beginning. How many more culmination moments might there be? Here's something I want you to understand. However much the smartest, most spiritual, scholarly, prophetic person that's ever lived, however much they understood, wasn't even a drop in the bucket of the truth. Not the fullness of it. There is no end to truth, wisdom, glory, and increase in God. We are going to see ages to come. This current age is called the present evil one. Think about that for a minute. The only version of life you and I have ever known is the present evil age. That's the only one we know. We don't know any other way. It's all we've been able to experience. Look what it says here in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God and the Father. We're in an age right now. I mean, there's some things I like about it. I kind of like those Christmas lights at Highland Park. They're pretty cool looking. There's some things that I like in this age. It's a present evil one. The best things in this life are still tainted by the present evil age. Furthermore, it says this in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel and that displays the glory of Christ who came in the image of God. This is the God of this age. Reason this current age is evil is there's a God of this current age and it's not God. It's actually talking about Satan. Satan having great amount of capacity to dictate principles and things in this age. He's not the only influence. We just got done praying for healing. But let's recognize the reason for healing is because some forces are at work that can cause our bodies to get unhealed. Well, who did that? Wasn't God. It was the God of this age, Satan, who has significant influence in this present evil age. It's the reason that the church pushes back with prayer, pushes back with acts of love and mercy and the gospel. The reason we have to do all that stuff is because somebody else is in charge. He's called the God of this age, and it's a present evil one, and this is the only reality we've ever known. The fact that we can even smile just kind of makes me wonder, how do we pull that off, man? It's a present evil age. I get how we're going to smile with a resurrected body. Y'all are going to like my resurrected smile. You're going to take pictures. You're going to want pictures with me and my resurrected grin. I'm telling you right now. But the fact that we can smile with an unresurrected grin, some of y'all, I'm going to leave it at that. I can't believe that we're able in this age to experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, because where it's going will so be superior to where it has been. The only age you've ever been experienced, had access to, had any experience of, was this present evil one. But the next age is the millennium, the rule of Jesus. It's the first age outside of this one. It's the first one in the storyline forward. And we're aware of a good number of details. We're going to spend some time on this in future sessions, but there's actually a lot of Bible on the millennium, on the next age. I mean, more than on any other age except the current one. There's a lot we can learn about the next age, and therefore, by comparison, we can see what it's like to this one and then probably what it's like to the next one. There's a significant amount of information. Why is that in our Bible? I don't know, so we can study it later. No, I actually think it's so we can study it now. I think so that our hearts, because remember, you are eternal. You're going to live somewhere forever. I think our hearts, our spirits, actually long for eternity. I think there's something in us that's longing for information about our future, our forever. And as we see these Bible verses, there's a capacity to fascinate the human heart that is rare. I mean, it's unusual, even with so many other things in the Bible. Like, let's just say this will fascinate your heart more than any, you know, lineage study, okay? The focus and the focal point of living for ages to come, it's actually something that the Lord wants to fascinate our hearts with. And so studying the millennium and the ages to come, it's a beautiful thing. I'll just give you this verse here in Revelation 20, verse 6, because it's one of the passages that says it so clear. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. Second death has no power over them. They'll be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. The next age, Jesus reigning, 1,000 years in duration, us with him. That's what this next age looks like. We know a little bit, though, about the age that follows, the one after the millennium. So again, let's call it 6,000 years now, this present age. The next one, it's 1,000 years. There's no guesswork on it. After that, we don't know how long it will be, but we do know some details about the age that follows, and those details are fascinating. We know things like the Father is going to come and make his home on the earth. That won't happen during the millennium. It happens after. We know something that heaven is going to come and actually rest and descend and be on the planet in the age after the millennium. That's crazy thinking. That's crazy. Heaven on earth, not tongue-in-cheek. Like, on it, squishing things. Heaven on earth, squishing things. Heaven on earth. That's just, whoa, those are interesting details. And then the ages to come, Ephesians 2, 6 through 7, God raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with him in heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, for a reason. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Let me decode that for you. You've been seated with Christ in heavenly realms for a purpose. That purpose is so that in the coming ages, the next one, the one after that, and the 750 after that, you've been seated with Christ so that in the coming ages, you might really understand the incomparable riches of his grace. Because right now, you don't understand it. Right now, you've only experienced one age to even figure out what incomparable riches of his grace could even look like. You've only experienced his incomparable riches of his grace in the context of one age, under the rules of one age. Oh, and don't forget, it's a present evil age with Satan as the god of this age. That's the only version of the incomparable riches of Christ you've ever even had the chance to know. We've been seated with him in heavenly places so that 1,000 ages from now, we might really start to understand the incomparable riches of his grace. Guys, you're going to live forever. This is real. Whatever our light and momentary afflictions are, we get really hung up about stuff, we are going to flat out laugh at ourselves in the future. We go, I cannot believe I got so bummed out about that. What are you even talking about? I don't even remember anymore. It was bad, I think. I'm sorry for bringing it up. I don't even know. Why? Well, because currently I'm too immersed in incomparable riches of his grace. I don't even remember what happened back there on earth. I don't even remember what was going on back in that, you know, present dark age that Satan was ruling. We get so hung up over some small stuff, and you want to know why? We have no revelation that we live forever and that our life just keeps getting better. We don't believe it. These are fairy tale verses. We see these verses and it's like, oh yeah, but it's not real. We treat it the same way we would treat a children's story. We don't live our lives like children's stories are real. You know, we don't go around looking for unicorns. Maybe cherish. We don't go around looking for unicorns because we know they're fake. So we don't base our life off of those children's stories. Guys, we need to start basing our life off of verses that talk about the fact you're going to live for infinite number of ages in the future, and each one keeps getting better. You're not alive for 80 years. You're alive for 80 billion years. You're alive for 80 billion ages. You're going to live forever. We've got to get some perspective. We've got to stop complaining. We are so hung up over the smallest stuff. I just really wish I could see myself 3 or 4 ages down the road and get some counsel from future self about current circumstances. Oh, you hurt your knee. Oh, you poor little guy. I mean, it's like we get so upset about the dumbest stuff. Whatever even in this age is big and painful, it's still fleeting. It's still passing. It doesn't define us. You are not defined by your circumstances. You're not defined. You're going to live forever. I'll tell you what, you are defined by your circumstances. The ones that happen 5 ages from now that are going to be epic, that's who you are. That's exactly who you are. That's what you're about. That's the real you. You're going to be in that state a lot longer than you were in this one. You're going to be experiencing future ages for much longer period of time than this present dark one. So yeah, go ahead and be about your circumstances, just not the ones now. Look into the future and the incredible mysteries that he has in store for you in Christ. The ages to come are going to be awesome. Let's look at these ages past for a few minutes. Long ages past. Look at these verses. Romans 16, 25. We looked at it a minute ago, but we went pretty quick through it. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past. Long ages past. Long ages. Makes me wonder if 6,000 years is one of the short ones. Long ages. Not just many ages. It actually talks about the ages that were long. How long is long? The long ages past. Man, that's just, God is able to make them as long or as short as he wants. Look at this verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 8, 22 through 23. The Lord brought me forth. This is a depiction of wisdom. It's wisdom speaking. So wisdom is saying, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. Do you know there was a moment where God invented wisdom? I mean, at least he put it into place. It says right here, he established wisdom. He put wisdom into place. In ages past, the formation, the foundation of wisdom, What future inventions does God have in mind that will feel as concrete as the idea of wisdom? What new things await us in the future if God is just an inventor of all inventions? And if he's never done and he's creative and he builds upon what he's built before, what awaits us in the future if in the past there were moments where God thought a thought and it was wisdom and he established it? The mystery of the age is hidden. I love this idea until it impacts me personally. I love the idea that God is a secret keeper. I love it. Again, until it's a secret I want him to tell me and he won't tell me. The fact that God can hold his tongue, that he can have a mystery, a secret, and he can keep it for ages. Look at this. This is crazy. This is Ephesians 3:9, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, a mystery which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. We've not experienced the last of God's hidden mysteries. In fact, the reason we have phrases like this is to help us to understand we have a mystery hiding, a mystery keeping, a secret keeping God, who will forever continue to fascinate us with things he always planned, never revealed, and they'll be shocking when they happen. We go, oh my gosh, where'd you think of that? He's like, well, I've been working on this one for a while. Ages past, actually, even before that. Whoa, how come we didn't know? Well, because you're a little dull, but it's okay. I made you that way. I kept the secret from you on purpose. I kept it hidden. I didn't want you to know. I wanted to surprise you. You like surprises? I like surprises. I wanted to surprise you with the hidden mysteries that have been hidden for ages. Look at Colossians 1:26 says it similarly. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. Friends, there are ages forever in our future that are orchestrated by a kind, loving, secret-keeping God who is about a family, who is about rewarding those who diligently seek him, who is about giving good gifts to his children. We are going to live forever. And there's going to continually be that wow effect in each coming age. This is who you are. You're not your job. You're not your past. You're not whatever deficiencies you've got. I've got them too. That's not who you are. You are an eternal child of God with this as your future and your destiny. This is who you are. As we wrap up, worship team, you can come on up. Right now, we are living in the culmination of the ages that preceded us. And I think that God in this age is trying to teach us to long, teach us to reach, teach us to see that there is so much more. I want to encourage you to go and look at these verses on your own and the 500 we didn't look at tonight or today, this morning. There's so many verses about this subject. This is not a, you know, like only five verses in the Bible kind of a thing. There is so much information. And I think that we're actually to see this, to have our hearts engage and to start to reach, to start to go, okay, we're only at the beginning. We're in a beautiful beginning. We're in the beginning where Jesus is coming and he's redeeming us, but he's redeeming us for purpose. He's not redeeming us to fix an accident. He's not redeeming us just to fix, oh, there was that whole fruit in the garden thing, the tree, and, you know, the snake. That's kind of a bummer. I got to fix this problem. It's a setup. Our redemption is preparation for the coming ages. We are just at the beginning.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.